What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I woke up this morning hearing President Trump on Fox and Friends with Lawrence asking this question here.
Mr. President, the whole world was watching yesterday as you got leaders from the European Union, NATO, as well from all over the world. How did you get them to Washington, to the Oval Office so fast?
Well, I think really they have respect for our country again. A year ago, they wouldn't have come. They wouldn't have even thought about it. Now, we've become the hottest country anywhere in the world. Everybody wants to be here. When I made the call, they came. And they said there's really never been anything like it. You know, you'd have one president or one prime minister, but there's never been, you know, such a group. And these really represent the European nations, these people. And they're very good people. And they want to end the war. That horrible war with Ukraine and Russia, it's a horrible war.
So what happens next?
I know yesterday you talked about arranging a meeting to take place in 2 weeks between Putin and Zelensky. Is there an update there, and do you plan to attend?
No, I thought I'd do first let them meet. You know, they haven't been exactly best friends. They haven't gotten along very well. And I called President Putin yesterday, and I do have a good relationship, but it's, you know, only matters if we get things done. Otherwise, I don't care about the relationship. I do have a good relationship with him, but I want to get things done. You know, I've solved seven wars. We ended seven wars. I thought this would be one of the easier ones, and this has turned out to be the toughest one.
And it's not going to probably get any easier from here. We have former United States Senator from Missouri, Jim Talent, with us, foreign policy expert that he is, to weigh in on this. Jim, how are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm doing fine. Always good to be on with you, my friend.
I want to get your opinion of the security guarantees and explain that issue in particular. Here's what President Trump said about that, because it almost sounds like Ukraine will be a NATO-like member, even though they're not going to be a member of NATO.
They're not going to be a part of NATO, but we've got the European nations, and they'll front-load it, and they'll have some of them, France and Germany, a couple of them, UK. They want to have... you know, boots on the ground. Not in. I don't think it's going to be a problem, to be honest with you. I think Putin is tired of it. I think they're all tired of it. But you never know. We're going to find out about President Putin in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we will. So, a couple of questions. First of all, you think a Zelensky meeting with Putin in 2 weeks is likely or even possible? That sounds a little ambitious, but President Trump is getting things done right now.
Yeah, he is. I think Putin is going to really wriggle around to try and avoid that. I think he knows that once he sits down and starts talking, the logic of negotiations is going to push him towards President Trump's bottom line and basically push him to take the L. That's what he's trying to avoid, Mark. I mean, this war has been a disaster for Russia on a strategic level. I mean, Sweden and Finland are now in NATO. They've been neutral for 40 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The Europeans are increasing their defense expenditures. You're seeing the alliance unite behind the United States. We saw that yesterday. Europe's buying energy from the United States and not from Russia. The Russian army's been exposed as third rate, and Putin's lost 1 million men. And you know what he's got in return for that? He's conquered additional territory in Ukraine, about half the size of the state of New York. So he doesn't want to have to give an accounting for that. He doesn't. Trump's bottom line, I think, is he can keep most of the territory he's got. Ukraine keeps its sovereignty, and then Europe rebuilds Ukraine under American leadership and, frankly, buying American arms. I think that's what Trump wants, a stable peace. And that's a huge defeat for Putin. He's trying to avoid it.
So on the security guarantees, what's the difference between, because Putin doesn't want them to become a NATO member, right? But the security guarantees, the way that they're being described, almost make it seem like they're a de facto NATO member. What am I missing here, and why is Putin going to go for that?
Yeah, I don't think he is going to. The Russians announced today that they were not going to accept European troops in Ukraine. My guess is that in the discussions with Trump, Putin is trying to avoid getting pinned down to anything. He may have brought that up as a possible alternative. It really wasn't on the table before. And Trump says, oh, okay, well, we'll talk about that. I don't think the Russians are going to want that. Personally, Mark, I would prefer a situation where we have an agreement that enables Ukraine, that empowers Ukraine to rebuild itself as a force. In part because I don't think a security guarantee is worth very much unless the United States backs it. And obviously, President Trump doesn't want to do that, and I don't want him to do it. I think that what I'd rather see is, and I think this is what Trump is going to drive towards, is a situation where Ukraine keeps its sovereign right to control its own destiny. The Europeans put in a lot of money. Ukraine rebuilds militarily and economically.
Now, he seems, and I think the president at this point is rather impatient because he should be. This is dragging on. And I guess I think he's referring to Zelensky here. He says, OK, well, maybe we'll have a meeting here in a couple of months.
He said, well, let's meet in another month or two and let's see if we can start, making some way. He said, a month or two? You're going to have another 40,000 people dead in a month or two. You have to do it tonight. And I did, actually. I called President Putin and we're trying to work out a meeting with President Zelensky. We'll see what happens there. And then if that works out, then I'll go to the trilat and close it up.
So you had stage one, I guess, being Anchorage on Friday. They quickly turn around. You get all these European leaders at the White House yesterday. There seems to be a positive amount of energy that comes out of that. And then, Zelensky, he even kind of wore a suit yesterday, sort of a suit. And he, didn't have the moment he died 6 months ago. So then where are we? Because if this doesn't happen, this next part that he's describing with Zelensky and Putin, which it's hard for me to envision a scenario where that happens. And then Trump says he'll come in and close the deal. That's pretty ambitious here for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it is. A couple of things. Trump knows he can get Zelensky to sign off on the kind of deal I just talked about, or if necessary, substituting a security guarantee of some kind. So he knows he's got Zelensky. I think he's got to get Putin. And what we found out, because Putin came to Alaska, he didn't want to do that, is he's afraid of the sanctions that Trump's threatened. Trump gave him a deadline, and he ought to be afraid because we can really hurt him with those sanctions. So Trump has found out what Putin wants and what he and how bad he wants it. So he's going to apply that pressure. He doesn't want to levy the sanctions if he doesn't have to, because it's just classic negotiations. If he can get Putin to do what he wants without having to play a card, he's going to do that. So he's going to push, and we'll see how Putin responds. This is a game between two people who, whatever else they are, and I'm a strong supporter of our president, but whatever else Putin is, he's a good negotiator, and so is Trump. And so they're going back and forth. But I think Putin does not want those additional sanctions. So we'll see how he plays it, how he can avoid negotiating but also avoid those.
Do you have a situation where, when you say putting the hurt on him, what types of sanctions in particular? Because what's interesting here is then I want you to kind of address China's role in all this as well, because they're kind of on the outside here, not exactly looking in, but they play a pretty big role when it comes to the economy or the economic aspects of this, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Chinese are very willing to buy Russian oil at cut rate prices. I mean, they basically view the country as a sort of a gas station, a vassal. They put out a map a few months ago, the Chinese did, of eastern Russia, and they gave the cities Chinese names. And that's how they're dealing with it. Here's what we could do, okay, and Putin knows this. We can impose secondary sanctions on the big Russian banks who we haven't sanctioned at this point. In other words, the secondary sanctions means if you're doing business with somebody who's doing business with those banks, you get cut off from the international financial system. The other thing we can do is sanction the shadow fleet. That oil that Russia sells is carried by tankers and a shadow fleet that operates. That's why they call it a shadow fleet. It operates sort of half in, half out of the actual system. If we sanction those, then he's not going to be able to ship his oil. Now, there's reasons we don't want to do that. We don't want to increase the price of oil until we get our own production up, and we don't want to necessarily cut off that supply. But again, I'm not so sure that you can force Putin to an agreement he doesn't want with sanctions, but I think you can force him to the table, which is what Trump may have to do. I mean, if Putin keeps flailing around like this, the president's going to have to make a decision about whether to apply that leverage and see if it works.
Yeah, because look, I'm a realist in this, and you've followed things like this for a long time.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is very difficult for me to believe. Then again, Jim, I did not think the big, beautiful bill would, you know, cross the finish line the way it did. But it's hard for me to believe that in a month's time, let's say we fast forward to mid-September, end of September, beginning of October, what it is, that all of this is going to kind of come together in the way that President Trump hopes. Now, I hope it does. I think a lot of people hope it does. I think those European leaders that were at the White House yesterday certainly hope it does. But the players, the main players, Zelensky and Putin, that those are the wild cards. And I just don't see those two getting along. What else does Zelensky have to do to save face? Because they're not giving territory back to Zelensky, right? That's not happening. They want more in any kind of final agreement.
No, that's right. Zelensky, and I think in that initial exchange months ago at the White House where Zelensky got angry, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And
then
he had to immediately make up to the White House. I think that's when the agreement was made that, look, you're not going to get the Crimea back. You're not going to get very much back of what Putin has actually taken, Russia's taken in Donetsk and Luhansk and the eastern provinces. But we will set up a situation where your future security is guaranteed, and we're going to get you a lot of assistance to rebuild the country. And I think I believe that's an honorable peace. I mean, if I was running things, I wouldn't think that was abandoning Ukraine. But they have to preserve their sovereignty. What Putin wants is for them to agree they're not going to rearm. He can control their foreign policy. He'll control their electoral process. And Trump hasn't said a single thing to suggest that he's going to agree to that. But you're right. I mean, getting this done. The other issue with this, Mark, and I've not heard the president talk about this. Okay, but if the United States and the Europeans continue to supply Ukraine, Russia is not going to win this war. And how long is Putin going to continue doing this? He doesn't want to give an accounting, you know, to the Russian people. But eventually, I mean, he's having to rely on the North Koreans now for material and men. So I think if the president's going to have a decision to make, does he apply the sanctions? If that doesn't get Putin to seriously negotiate, then I think we just go on with the thing the way it is until Putin decides he's got to take the L sometime.
I mean, I know that the casualty numbers could be off just a little bit, but let's say you're on the low side of 750,000 people, or maybe it is more than a million. That is a stunning number, and it's just tossed around casually. Like, you know, there's just another big world conflict over on the other side of the globe. And I know there's a lot of cynicism when it comes to President Trump, but I kind of believe him, and I hope he's sincere in the notion that, for the love of God, we got to stop the killing here. In 2025, we're having a war like this where all these people are dying, all these young men in Russia, all these young men and women in Ukraine. So I think that he certainly wants something to get done. I can't wait to see the legacy media's response if he does pull this off. But I think the timetable, and again, I thought this about the big, beautiful bill, is a little ambitious right now, Senator. We'll have to see what happens.
Well, that's classic Trump, isn't it? When he was campaigning, he said he'd resolve it in 24 hours.
One day, yes.
This is all part of the show. You know, I think I came across as really cynical. I absolutely believe, you know, presidents have core beliefs. I could go through all of them and point out things that I think they really believed and were attached to. I think Trump has a genuine horror of war. And I think that's part of the reason he's doing this. But I also believe there are certain American interests he's trying to secure. And if you want to understand what he's doing and why, you have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Senator Jim Talent, always great to have you on. I hope all is well.
Okay. It sure is, Mark. Same to you.
Excellent. Thanks. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.